who I know would love to be homeowners. Amen. You know, and may work in these categories, may fit into these categories. That would be a tremendous blessing. Praise God. You know, stay there 5 years. I mean, who's going to buy a home and not want to stay there for 5 years? You plan on staying there for 30 years. Praise God. So anyways, that I wanted to announce that. That's a tremendous blessing. You know of anyone who could qualify, who are interested, by all means, share that with them. This coming Friday, April the 13th, 7:30 p.m., 10 times better. Oh, that was good. They were like waiting for me, like, oh, 10 times better. You'll be meeting in the MP room with Minister Aquino, Sister Kianani, and gang. And you're going to have a blessed time. Tell your friends, invite others, fill the house. Praise God. Saturday, April 14th, 10:30 a.m., Grinding for Souls, Evangelism, G4S. For more information, contact Brother Kwame, or he will be in contact with you as well. How many this week so far? Two. Praise God. That's a good two. Amen. Glory to God. So we thank God for those two being added to the kingdom. Last week was how many? 12. Praise God. So, you know, the fish are still biting. So we thank God for those two that have given their lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, we serve an awesome God. Let's get ready to give him an offering. And while you're preparing your offering, we'll go into Isaiah chapter 54. I believe God is going to park us there at least for a couple of more times, three more times, because there's a lot in there that I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to us in this time. When I think about the passage, what comes to mind is number one, sinned, S-E-N-D, but sing, S-I-N-G. When you're praising God, sing. Sing from your heart. Sing with joy. Sing with that voice of triumph. Sing rejoicing. But sing. Sing the sorrows away. Sing the heaviness away. Sing the problems away. You know how some people, they drink alcohol. I'm not bad-mouthing them, putting them down, but they drink alcohol to drink away their problems, drink away their burdens, to relieve them of. Well, sing now. Sing to run that headache off. Sing to run the pain off. Sing to run the sickness off. Sing for the breakthrough. Sing rejoicing. Sing celebrating. Sing in the midst of the trial, the adversity. Sing when everything is going wrong. Sing when everything is going right. Just break forth and sing. When we're praising, sing with all of your heart. Now, this is the thing, if we're honest and transparent with ourselves, there are times where we don't feel like singing. We just want to. Or we just, I'm okay, I'm enjoying it, I'm a part of it, I'm just not singing. I don't have to sing like you. I don't have to be like you. I can be like me. I just feel good right now. I don't feel bad. I just sing. Even in the midst of that mindset and mentality, sing. Open. There's something in it. God told the children of Israel. He spoke through the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 54, he said, sing. He's sing if you feel like a woman who is barren. Sing if you feel like a woman who is forsaken. Sing if you feel like a woman who desires a husband but doesn't have one. Sing out of despair. Sing out of poverty. Sing out of hopelessness. Sing. Break forth into singing. Hallelujah. It may not mean much to you, but it means everything to God. Hallelujah. You're not singing just for the sake of hearing yourself sing. You're singing to the one who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think, even according to the power that's on the inside of you. Sing. I don't want to sing. Sing. Sing beyond that mindset and attitude. Well, you don't know what just happened. Sing in the midst of that. Nobody knows what happened. I'm going to sing, and they'll never know what happened until I give them the testimony of how singing brought me through and brought me over. Hallelujah. I'm going to sing. I'm going to rejoice in my God because it's a time for it. I know it seems simple, but God is simple because we're simple. You know, if he operates out of his intelligence, nobody, Einstein couldn't understand God. He'd blow his mind. I mean, he's long gone now, but, you know, the smartest, most intelligent person on this earth now, if God starts talking from all of his wisdom and knowledge and understanding, he'd just blow our circuits. He's an awesome God. He created the heavens and the earth. He knows everything that we know and more. More than we'll ever achieve in a thousand lifetimes or years on this earth. He knows it all. He is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent, everywhere at all times, omnipotent, almighty, all-powerful. He's everything. Hallelujah. He's awesome. He's God. So he knows what we're dealing with. There is a name that describes the nature and character of God that I believe it might only be revealed in one particular passage in Scripture. And who it was revealed to is one of the most unlikely characters in the Scripture. Not character in the sense of crazy, goofy, funny type people, but character in the sense of an individual. This individual, not of her own, but was volunteered to give herself over to a married man in order to give birth to a child to her barren mistress. Now, mind you, this was before, what did he call it, surrogate type, you know. This was way ahead of that kind of stuff. And maybe they got some of the ideas from that, I don't know. But this woman was a simple servant. And all she was doing was serving her mistress, the one who was over her. Her name was Hagar, and her mistress, or the one who was over her, the one whom she served, her name was Sarah. Sarah couldn't have children until the Lord opened up her womb. And so in the midst of Sarah's struggle to have children, she came up with the idea, why don't you take my handmaiden Hagar and take her in and conceive and have a child by her, seeing that I'm barren. And Abraham went ahead and did it. Well, she immediately became pregnant. And in her pregnancy, pride settled in. All of a sudden, she started wanting some of Abraham's possessions. Praise God. It's like, I ought to be Mrs. Abraham. See? Pride settled in. And she felt like she did need to be Mrs. Abraham and not Sarah. She started despising Sarah. Like looking at her like, look at me. I got a baby and you don't. I got the air in my belly. So she thought. So she got a little bit arrogant and Sarah got a little bit upset. Sarah kicked her out. Abraham's like, whatever you want to do, do. And in Hagar's troubles, when she was kicked out, she got rebuked, and then she came back and humbled herself. She gave birth to Ishmael, and Abraham was happy because he had a son. But God says that's not the heir, H-E-I-R. That's not the heir. No, the seed will come from your loin and Sarah's womb. And so as time goes on, Friction settles in. Hagar gets out of line, and she gets kicked out. And in her being kicked out, she travels through this desert place, dry place, if you will. And she and her son are thirsty this time. By this time, I think he's about 12 or something like that. So she's thirsty, he's thirsty, and there's no water nowhere. And in their travels and all, he becomes so weak that she knows he's about to die. So she puts him in a place, and then she goes on because she doesn't want to watch him die, her son die. But then God speaks to her. And when God speaks to her, he reveals his character. He reveals his nature. He reveals his name. And God is like, I am El Roy. R-O-I. I'm the God who sees. That is and I think I might have mentioned it Sunday as well. That is a situation where God revealed himself, and it was to an Egyptian handmaiden. And it wasn't just to her. God's just revealing his nature. He's the God who sees. So he sees us in every situation. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at all times. God sees. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3. You know, that's one of my favorite scriptures. I like quoting it. I like remembering where it's at. I hope I never forget. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He is El Roy. He is the God who sees. He sees us. He sees us when we're doing things. And that's not a scare tactic. It's just a truth. He sees us when we're doing something. I firmly believe God saw me January 1st, 2018. He saw me when I wrote what I wrote. Even though I didn't see everything that was to come to pass, nevertheless, he sees. And the rest is history of what we shared Sunday. He sees. Remember that. He sees where you're at. He sees the struggle. He sees the pain. He sees the offense. He sees the bad. He sees the good. He sees all things. He sees. And because he sees, and that first part of his name, El, meaning Almighty God, he is the mighty one, the strong one. He's the powerful one. And he sees our situations. Our situations don't stand a chance in the presence of the great I am. When it's bad, God sees. What does that mean? Does it mean God takes pleasure in us going through difficult times? No. Does it mean God just rejoices in our pain and suffering? No. Here it comes. Let it rain. God sees us right now. He doesn't see us to destroy us. He doesn't see us to hurt us. He doesn't see us to embarrass us. He doesn't see us to scare us. He sees us because he loves us. He's watching over us. He's a shepherd who watches over his flock. He takes care of his people. God is watching. Even when you're being done wrong, God is watching. That may sound repetitive and redundant, but get this. He's watching. He's watching your prayers. And of course, you're praying to him. But you need to know that the eyes of the Lord are upon you even when you're praying. He hears your cry. He sees what you write. He sees what you read. He hears you when you pray. He's watching over you. He sees. And so in seeing, when we get to Isaiah 54, verse 1, and he says, break forth and sing. Lord, do you not know what has happened? Do you not know what I'm dealing with? Do you not know what I'm going through? Absolutely. I am Elroy. I see. So sing. Hallelujah. How can I sing in the pain? Yeah, you, let me tell you something. The world, like Jesus says, they are more shrewd in business dealings. You know, the world can recover from shame faster than believers can, and they don't even get cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. You watch them, they can do some of the most embarrassing stuff and the next day go around like nothing ever happened. I'm like, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You should not even want to be seen in public anymore. Go crawl under a rock. Do yourself a favor. Get out of the eyesight of humanity for a season. But they just go around like nothing. And believers will just carry guilt. And the cloud of guilt or misery or pain, we'll just carry it over. I mean, the stuff happened 10 years ago, and we're still carrying the cloud of it over us. We can't break free. And we got the blood. We got the word. We got the anointing that destroys every yoke and lifts every burden. We got the promises of God, which are yes and amen. God even says, I set you free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not looking at anybody in particular because I don't want nobody to think that I'm talking about them personally because I'm not. But he's like, I set you free. I released you. Oh, Lord, I just feel so guilty about what I did. Yeah, you did that about 15 years ago. Why are you still troubled with it? My blood washed you. You are sanctified. You are justified. And it's Romans chapter 8 that says glorified. You're cleansed and perfectly new in the eyesight of God. Walk in your liberty and freedom. Hallelujah. Because he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So why carry a dark cloud? Well, you said something in your message and it just hit me. You know, how do you know it's going directly to you? It could be somebody else that is in the midst of sin and needs to hear that word. And here you are going into bondage about something you've been freed from for 20 years. Praise God. You know, the power of the gospel is going to have to be preached until Jesus comes back. This gospel shall be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come. And so there's always going to be preaching about sin. Why? Because if we're doing what we're supposed to as a church and bringing in sinners, sinners need to hear the message of repentance. That was the first words that came out of John the Baptist's mouth. It was the first words that came out of Jesus' mouth. It was the first words that came out of Peter's mouth. It was the first words that came out of Paul's mouth in preaching the gospel. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Everybody needs to repent. And if you've repented, when you hear repentance again, it's not talking to you unless the Holy Ghost is convicting you about something that you just did. That makes sense? But if you've repented of something and then you hear that same thing being preached, it's because somebody else is in that state and they need to be free just like you got free. As a matter of fact, your testimony can help them to attain their freedom. You really did? I never would have known. I never saw that in you. I didn't think you would do something like that. That's because the blood has cleansed you so good that you don't even look or smell like what you used to be. Look and smell. Oh, well. You're new. You're new. If any man be in Christ, Brother Finn, you know what the verse says? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new, and all things are of God, who has given us that ministry of reconciliation. Praise God. He not only cleans us up, fixes us up, he powers us up, and then he releases us to go and share the message of the gospel with others. And he wants us to preach it with such conviction in the sense that even if we did bad and we're going up and witnessing to somebody who saw us do bad, he don't expect us to change the message for them. Well, you know, I understand, you know, because I did it, and I understand you doing it and stuff. And so, you know, God loves me, and God loves you. No, you got to repent, brother. You got to repent just like I had to repent. And God forgave me. I'm just using you as an illustration. Now, God forgave me and cleansed me. I'm not the same man that I used to be. I'm not the same friend. I'm not the same guy that you used to know. I'm a different man. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. That person you knew back there, dead, buried, hung on the cross, and he don't exist no more. Now it's a new creation, and you can be the same way. But you got to repent, brother. You got to repent, because I had to repent. And if you don't repent, and if you don't like that word, repent, brother, Jesus can't even help you. You know, and all that he's done for me, he can't do for you, because you won't do the first thing. Get the first thing first. Why I got to repent? Repent means to turn from the errors of your way and then to follow after God. We repent from dead works, and we have faith towards God. Amen. It takes us in that whole new different direction. So we're new creations in Christ. So in the midst of all of this, God's saying, sing, and we'll expound more later. He not only says sing, but he says it's time to extend your borders. Well, that didn't work out. That don't stop God. We keep moving forward. Amen. Because something good is about to happen. Hallelujah. And it won't happen if we do nothing. If we do nothing, nothing will happen. If we do something, something good is about to happen. Amen. And so we have to move on. We keep going because God's moving. But stuff will try and paralyze us, neutralize us, prevent us from stepping forward or stepping out into what God wants us to step into. And so we have to keep moving forward, keep moving upward. We have to keep growing, keep transitioning, keep moving into higher levels and places in God in Christ Jesus. We must never become content. Godliness with contentment is great gain, but in godliness, you're still going higher. That makes sense? You grow and you mature and you grow and you mature and you keep striving for the high calling, for the upward calling in Christ Jesus. You keep pressing toward that mark. You keep pressing towards who you are in Christ Jesus until that one day, we don't know what we're going to look like, but we know we'll look like him. And so we don't have to wait to grow and mature. We don't have to wait and say, I'm just going to keep living like this until I die or Jesus comes. No, we start living like who we are in Christ Jesus now, because we are that now. We want to grow and mature in it now. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're blessed and we're not cursed. We're kings and priests unto our Heavenly Father. God says that in his word. John on the Isle of Patmos quoted the words of Jesus concerning us. He hath made us kings and priests unto our Heavenly Father. We're made that. And we want to grow in that. Hallelujah. We want to mature in that. We want to reach. Listen, the plan of God, Paul reveals it in the book of Romans, I believe it is that we be conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. Now, we know that inwardly we're transformed and renewed in our minds. But the ultimate goal is to conform to the image of Christ Jesus. That begins now. It doesn't begin when we get to glory. Because in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. There'll be no more growing up. We just live in that state for all eternity. But for now, we're growing into, as Paul told the Ephesians, the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. We're no longer being tossed to and fro and carrying about with every wind of doctrine. No, we're solid and secure in what we know in Christ Jesus. And as God continues to reveal to us and we continue to study to show ourselves approved, don't wait till you're a minister, fivefold ministry gift. Don't wait, I got to do all of this. I got to do all of these things. Just go out there and share this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with whosoever. read your word, pray, seek God daily, and grow into the things that God has called us to grow into as the church of the living God. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Don't be stagnant. Nothing will happen. Be active. Act. Use your faith. God gave it to you to live by, to walk by. God gave it to you to use, to open doors that have been shut. And that God will shut doors that have been open that you don't need to be going into. Amen. But live as a child of God. Sing. You know, you might not be able to carry a tune, but you know how it is when you get in the shower. Some of us do. But sing with all of your heart. Extend your borders. Stretch out your tent pegs. And in the New Living Translation, it says, spare no expense. In other words, go all out. Now, don't go all out reckless and careless and foolishly, but go out in the wisdom and knowledge of God, being led by the Spirit of God. Go all out. Go all out in your faith. Let your faith get exercised. It does you no good being dormant. It does you no good just holding on. It does you no good just to sit and just, you know, stay in the same old rut, same old routine. Didn't we get some traction on Sunday? When we're supposed to get some traction on Sunday? When we're supposed to get some, you know, some mud wheels and some all-terrains and, yeah, to get out of the rut. I think I mentioned rut on Sunday. I think I mentioned coming out. Some of you are looking at me. We obviously have to get that recording, Minister Patton. Just get that part, put it on YouTube. Get some traction to get out of the rut of just doing the same old mundane routine things and nothing happening exciting or exhilarating, nothing happening to cause your faith to grow. Your faith excels as you move towards God. Your faith excels as you do works of the kingdom. Your faith excels. God won't withhold any good thing from you. He just wants you to honor him with your very life. He's not going to hold something back, because if he's got you, nothing else can have you. Oh, don't misunderstand me. You have relationships, but the main relationship is so intact, no other relationship will diminish or take away from this relationship. Because if there's any relationship you're going to keep, you keep this one with Jesus. Amen. And in him, everything else comes into place. Stand to your feet. Sing. Extend your borders. Extend your faith. And the third part is, there's many parts in there, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. Weapons will come. Weapons will be formed. But they're not going to prosper against you, the servant of the Most High God. Amen? All right. Love you very dearly. This is a year of? Say it with some enthusiasm. Now say it with some faith. Yeah, do you believe it for you? I do. I believe it for you. I believe it for this ministry. I believe it for our household. I believe it. I believe, and therefore I speak. And Dad is seeing, and Dad is listening, and Dad is moving. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Give him praise and give him glory. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your sons and daughters. Thank you for those watching live stream. We ask your blessing upon each and every one, and I speak the power of the blessing over them, Lord God, that the word does not fall to the ground, but it falls on the soils of the hearts of those who are here, and it germinates and produces much fruit for your glory and great name's sake. The Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Excuse me. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. His name be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you'll triumph over the gates of hell because you're the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. Father, we ask your blessings upon the offering. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us the means to give. And we give with a grateful, cheerful heart. We give with the prompt to do it spirit. And we ask your blessing on it as we release our faith in Jesus' mighty name. Bless your sons and daughters. Prosper them in all that they do. Let them see your goodness and your glory. Let 2018 be the greatest year in all their lives for the glory of God, crowning achievements, surpassing victories in this year, in Jesus' name. Everybody who agreed shouted amen. Amen. All right, greet one another in the name of the Lord. We love you. Friday night, 10 times at the MP room. Saturday, 18, going out there, raiding the streets, looking for souls. Hallelujah.